The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. The mighty Roman Empire fell in 476 AD. Why did that happen? How can we learn from the colossal collapse of this world superpower? The destruction of the Roman Empire did not happen suddenly and just out of the blue. That came about through a gradual decline. The infrastructure of their society started to crumble and unravel over many years until the empire became so weakened from within that it was conquered from without. Should we just ignore these lessons of history, or should we be taking note of them so that we can avoid the same fate in the Western world? If you will take an honest, serious look at what caused the collapse and defeat of Rome, you will find the same basic institutional failures in the Western world, most notably in America and Britain. History is clearly repeating itself. We've been going through a series on this program on the modern Romans, which we will continue today by focusing on the religious confusion that developed in the Roman culture, and comparing it with the confusion and watering down of religion in our own modern culture of today. We will be reading extensively from the booklet entitled The Modern Romans, starting on page 36 and going through page 41. The title of this chapter is Religion in Confusion. We read, "We are adrift without answers. We are witnessing the death of the old morality. No single authority rules our conduct. No church lays down the moral law for all." So wrote a senior editor of Look magazine many years ago, reporting the major indications of the post-World War II American moral crisis. An elder statesman of the National Council of Churches said at a meeting in Boston some time later, "Beneath all the social unrest, there is an even profounder unrest of the human spirit, a sense of meaninglessness, disenchantment, a search for ultimate meaning." Who's teaching the ultimate meaning of life today, anywhere in our nation, or in the world for that matter? The purpose for living. Religion in general, like education and the home, has failed to give an answer to the most important question of all, which is the purpose of life. Never has the influence of religion been at a lower ebb in the United States. The same could be said of Britain or any other nation in the Christian professing world. Yet Americans claim a church affiliation. Let's note this paradox between church affiliation and church influence, and there is a big difference between church affiliation and church influence. One, you simply attend the church. Two, what you learn there has an impact on your life and on your actions. A big difference. The majority of Americans feel religion is losing influence. There is the growing feeling among Americans, Britons, and others that religion, as commonly presented to them, is sterile, outmoded, irrelevant to today's needs and problems. To youth, it is especially meaningless, a part of the hypocrisy of the establishment that drastically needs changing. As one youth put it, "The church has no meaning. A place full of old ladies in felt hats, boring sermons, meaningless prayers." As a result, church membership is in a decline. There's no lack of religious form and ceremony in today's modern America and Britain, that's for sure. There's plenty of that. It is just that it does not seem to offer the motivation to change lives for the better. Today's religions are not bringing peace. Rather, they only serve to deepen the divisions between people. People have a form of godliness, but they deny God's power in their lives. You know, you find that right in the Bible. Let's turn over here to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Get your Bible and follow along. You'll find it much more interesting if you do that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, God inspired these words. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Notice verse 7. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning more and more and more, but never able to arrive at the bottom line, basic, unshakable, foundational truth from God. Having plenty of form, plenty of ceremony, plenty of atmosphere, plenty of comfortable surroundings, but no substance to the services that lead to living life the right way, producing the right results. That's the point being made here. Continuing reading from this booklet. Reporting on this trend, a clergyman and professor at George Washington University said this, "Never has Christianity been so ineffective and irrelevant. The distance between professed faith and our daily performance is astronomical." Daily living, daily actions, daily performance. The distance between professed faith and our daily performance is astronomical. In other words, despite an almost unanimous belief that a little religion is good for society, it hardly makes a dent in altering the massive problems of our time. It doesn't change the way people live their daily lives. Isn't that what it's supposed to do? Isn't church and religion supposed to change the way we live our daily lives for the better? Isn't it supposed to have an impact on who we are, what we do, and how we go about carrying out our responsibilities? Of course. But where do you see that happening today? Not too many places. It doesn't change the way people live their daily lives. Why has this happened? It can partially be understood by studying what happened to ancient Rome. Early Roman paganism, superstitions, and ritualisms, a fatal flaw, did produce one benefit. It closely united the ideals of religion and state, lending support to unified thinking and action. In the book Roman Civilization, Boston says this, "To a Roman of the best days of the Republic, religion represented stability in the state and in the home. It was the foundation of public and private life." With the ascent of the Roman Emperor Constantine in the early 300s AD, Christianity became the favored religion of the empire. But unity of faith eluded the emperor. The new religious form demanded a higher standard of morality than ancient paganism, but it had no profound moral effect on the Roman citizen. It just made him feel good. It was just something to do. It was just a kind of ritualistic exercise that they went through and that they were taught. But in terms of really applying what they were taught in practical, everyday actions and living, it didn't happen. And if it ever did happen, it gradually ceased to happen. Jones writes in his book, The Latter Roman Empire, "For the vast majority of ordinary men, Christianity caused no fundamental change of attitude." Let's not misunderstand. The institution of universal religion received growing acclaim, converts, and political leverage. But the greater mass of individuals professing Christianity did not allow it to alter their basic corrupt cravings and materialistic values. While the adoption of state-endorsed Christianity brought the empire a step closer to the ideal of unity, its conflict with ancient paganism made it a surface unity. Didn't have any depth, didn't have any roots. There was no substance. And paganism did not lose out entirely. Religious strife and confusion abounded. Christianity absorbed more and more pagan traditions and philosophy, and surprisingly, many have been handed down to us today. A lot of the religious practices that are accepted as Christian today in our society have pagan roots. All you have to do is just study and you'll see you can trace them right back to pagan practices that have been absorbed in and adopted by quote-unquote Christianity. And that cannot be biblically correct to do that. To the average Roman, any Christian moral teaching seems to have made little practical difference. Besides this, corruption and abuse of power became widespread in the church. Splits and schisms caused much conflict, bloodshed, and disunity. Confusion and ignorance concerning doctrine were rampant, just as they are today. Hellenized education caused some highly sophisticated Romans to view weak ancient religious traditions as superstitious. E.B. Castle wrote this in his book, Ancient Education and Today. For the sophisticated Roman myth was not enough. The old beliefs were not forsaken in response to the challenge of a more profound understanding of higher spiritual values, but merely because they failed to satisfy intelligent people. When the appeal of a higher moral purpose is absent, men seek their own sensual satisfaction. And today, many educated have seen through the superstitious approach many people have toward religion, even in America and the Western world, and therefore reject religion entirely and fall back on liberal values of their own reasoning. But another trend affected a greater majority. The confusing, abstract religious concepts of the old Roman religion didn't fill the spiritual void in the Roman populace. This was entirely true among the rapidly multiplying free slave class whose ancestral roots were in the Middle East rather than the Italian peninsula. These people felt right at home with the imported Eastern sun cults and mystery religions which began to stream into the empire. Samuel Dill, in his work Roman Society in the Last Century of the Western Empire, wrote, "The paganism which was really living, which stirred devotion and influenced souls, came from the East, from Persia, Syria, and Egypt. Foreign traders, foreign slaves, travelers, and soldiers returning from long campaigns in distant regions were constantly introducing religious excitement and then penetrated to the classes of culture and privilege." Carcopino also noted the decay of traditional Roman religion. He wrote, "The Roman Pantheon still persisted, apparently immutable, but the spirits of men had fled from the old religion. It still commanded their service, but no longer their hearts or their belief." In other words, their hearts were not in it. They were not really sincere in practicing it. In the motley Rome of this second century, it had wholly lost its power over the human hearts. That was written by Jerome Carcopino in his book, Daily Life in Ancient Rome. Many trends similar to those which affected Rome are with us today. Religion is in a state of confusion and turmoil. The strong but simple and clear-cut teachings of Christ and the apostles has been so watered down by modern religionists that it is too often a meaningless mishmash irrelevant to the daily life of the average individual. And what good is religion if it is not relevant to the daily life of the average individual? That's what religion is all about in the first place, isn't it? And yet it is truly becoming irrelevant to the daily life of the average individual in the Western world today, and in particular in America and Britain. And that's exactly what happened in ancient Rome, and it contributed to the decay and downfall of that society. And it's leading to big problems in our society today, in the beautiful and beloved countries of America and Britain and the rest of the Western world. Continuing, too often the power and authority of God, the Bible, and the Ten Commandments have been ridiculed, questioned, doubted by modern theologians and clerics. Educators have called the Bible myth. The spiritual base of the average layman has become a weak reed to lean on in these times of personal and national peril. How can such religion of fuzzy, vague values and meaningless formality lend weight to solving the nitty-gritty problems of our times? Religion is rapidly becoming not the truth of God teaching the way of life that you find in the Bible. It's becoming big business, commercial enterprises. It's about wealth of the organization and the leader of the organization and promises of wealth to the people if they give to that leader and the organization or the church that they attend. More and more, you find that in religion today. In much of today's popular religion, there are no sins, just behavioralistic abnormalities or social maladjustments. There are crimes against man, but not against God. A clear definition of sin or wrongdoing is lacking in our modern societies, although it is clearly explained in God's revealed word to man, the Bible. The Apostle John states that sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. You turn there and read it, and that's what it says. You just ask the average Christian today or the average minister today what sin is, and they will be hard put to define it. You can ask professors at theological seminaries, what is sin? You will be told all kinds of ideas and suggestions and theories and opinions about that subject. But very seldom will you ever be told, sin is the transgression of the law. And yet that's precisely what the Bible says. It's the age when millions of Americans have accepted church going without bothering to learn about it, or much about it. Just like the pagans who flocked, unchanged in heart, into the church after Constantine. Millions are ignorant of even the most basic tenets of our faith, or the Bible. Said one Bible translator, it is one of the curious phenomena of modern times that it is considered perfectly respectable to be abysmally ignorant of the Christian faith. How many people in church today really know what the Bible says or bother to find out? How many people in church today are studying the Bible, asking questions, seeking the truth, and then putting it into practice in their life? How many ministers today really know the Bible and really preach it the way it is written? I'm going to read this once again. Said one Bible translator, it is one of the curious phenomena of modern times that it is considered perfectly respectable to be abysmally ignorant of the Christian faith. Men and women who would be deeply ashamed of having their ignorance exposed in matters of poetry, music, or painting, for example, are not in the least perturbed to be found ignorant of the New Testament. How true! It is the age of hypocritical religion. Now, to be sure, there are sincere ministers and sincere churchgoers in our nations today in the Western world. But there is a growing segment in the population numbering into the millions who are turned off on religion. They've had enough. They don't see it as a practical way of life. They don't, quote unquote, get anything from it. They don't come home with information they can use that will change their lives for the better. They come home from going to church and they have not been told anything about the laws found in the Bible regarding a happy marriage, the guidelines found in the Bible about rearing happy, well-adjusted, balanced, successful children, the precepts in the Bible telling them how to get along with neighbors, how to do well on the job, how to improve their health, how to draw closer to God. They don't come home with usable knowledge regarding fulfilling lives. And so they increasingly lose interest in going to church, and finally they just simply don't bother to go at all. And they become turned off on religion and have nothing to do with it. Millions are coming to that place in their lives today. Others simply go through the motions, but actually do not view religion as a way of life. They do not view it as something that they need to listen to and pay attention to and understand and then act on and live by as they go through their day-by-day responsibilities. It is not considered a way of life to many professing Christians today. The right way that God in His Word commands us to follow. What about you? How do you consider the Bible and God and church? What about your minister? What does he teach regarding God and the Bible and church and that way of life that really works and produces the results you need to live happy lives? God's holy word is the centerpiece and focal point that guides a Christian's life. That's clearly laid out in the Bible. Let's turn to the words of Jesus Christ right over here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Notice what Christ, our Savior, said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Turn there and read it with your own eyes. Don't let anybody tell you what it says and leave it at that. Turn and see what it says for yourself. And here's what he said. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We are to live our lives according to what we read in this book, and with God's help, we can do that. Now, let me ask you this question. Are decisions made and policies implemented according to this word of God in governments and by leaders in their various offices in this world today? Decidedly not. God and His truth and His word are being pushed aside and out of the picture by more and more people at all levels of life. Jesus Christ and His truth are rapidly becoming irrelevant and buried in the flood of secularism and in the pursuit of pleasure and physical greed and gain on all levels. Even in religious circles, the Bible is being watered down and twisted and actually left out of sermons and teachings on a regular basis. Just check it and you'll see. It is not taken literally as the word of God, which true Christians must obey and follow day in and day out. Let's turn over here to a very important verse in the Bible just to examine it and see if that statement is not true. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. Notice 1 John 5 and verse 2 and just read it for yourself. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Are you taught to keep the commandments in your church by your minister? Do you believe that you should keep the Ten Commandments? It's not Old Testament teaching. It's not Mosaic Old Covenant practice and should be just left in the past. Now, to be sure, the Ten Commandments are taught in the Old Testament, and to be sure, Moses taught them as well, and they were absolutely to be followed under the Old Covenant. But it didn't just stop there. That Ten Commandment law was brought over into the New Testament, and it is a part of the New Covenant, and it is to be followed in the Spirit and in the letter by Christians in God's church today. We're reading over here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. That's way over in the New Testament, and look what it says. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Are those commandments being watered down today? Are they being pushed aside? Governments even are pushing them aside, out of schools, out of halls where justice is to be applied, out of town squares, out of having them displayed in public. Governments are pushing them aside, and they're also being pushed aside by churches, and they're also being pushed aside by individuals in their homes when they should be being brought to front and center, and they ought to be in the center of everyday living by practicing true Christians. That's what it says right here in 1 John 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Where can you go today and find the Ten Commandments being taught in the Spirit and in the letter as the path to follow in life that will lead to eternal life? With God's help, we follow those commandments. Let me ask you a simple question, and only you can answer it. I don't know. Do you know the Ten Commandments? Do you know where they can be found in the Bible? Does your minister know the Ten Commandments? Does he ever teach them? All 10 of them? You can find them in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy 5. You shall have no other God before the true God. You shall not make unto you any graven images. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's one that more and more churches are trying to do away with. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie, and do not covet. And of course, they're given in more detail in those chapters of the Bible where they're listed. And you find every single one of those Ten Commandments found in the New Testament as well. If you search the New Testament carefully, you'll find all 10 woven right through the New Testament. If your minister isn't teaching you about living life according to the law of God, the Ten Commandments, why don't you ask him about that and find out what he thinks about the law, the way of life found in God's commandments, which we just read in 1 John 5, 3 is the love of God. Let's turn to another scripture over here in Matthew chapter 15 regarding religion today and see if this doesn't describe quite a few places that purport to teach the truth of God. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. Notice what Jesus Christ says right here. These are the words of our Savior. Verse 8, Matthew 15. The people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He's saying, I'm not number one in their heart. I'm not number one in their thinking. They say good things and they espouse wonderful, high-sounding phrases, but in their heart, they're not drawing near to me. Is what Jesus Christ said right here. Now notice what he says here in verse 9. But in vain they do worship me. I want to ask you something. Have you ever thought about the fact that you can be worshiping God in vain, and so can I. Just worshiping is not good enough, and just worshiping God is not good enough. We can do that in vain. We can mean well. We can be sincere. We can be very devoted in our worship of God, and it can all be in vain. We've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've got to worship Him from the heart. We've got to obey Him. We've got to follow what He says. We've got to yield to Him and live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is what we read in His Word. That's the true religion that ought to be throughout the country and throughout the world today. But where can you find that true religion today? Just as the religion in Rome began to wane and die out, and even that religion was not the true religion, but it served to unify that empire. As it began to die out, the truth of God and the true religion in America and Britain and the Western world of today, that also is beginning to wane and fade and die out. There's still religion. Even that's shaky. There's still people believing, and there's still people worshiping. But in what way? Well, notice what Jesus Christ said here. Matthew 15 and verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me," doing what? "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men instead of the commandments of God." And therefore, our country is getting into more and more trouble because instead of drawing closer to God and walking with Jesus Christ, we're moving away from God and walking on our own. All of the failings and religious confusion that developed in religion in Rome and which contributed to the decay and eventual utter defeat of that mighty empire. All of those same telltale signs are quickly emerging in religion in our day. Instead of being the glue that unifies and holds together our nations and cultures, religion is becoming meaningless and impractical. It does not define and answer the really big and most important questions in life. And those questions are, why am I here? Where am I headed? How is all of this going to turn out? What should I be doing in my own personal life on a day-by-day basis? Religion is not addressing those questions and giving the true, biblical, workable, practical answers. If you would like to know more about these questions, ask for our free CD on Life's Great Purpose. You can also ask for our free article on living life more abundantly. We'll also send you our free magazine entitled Straightforward. All of this material is free of charge. There will be no follow-up and no obligation on your part. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.